Hello, beautiful queens, and join me as we open up conversations that help women walk through difficult transitions and inner healing while unleashing the potential that God has placed within all of us to become untamed and unchained. In each episode, you'll get the tools and resources to create the change in your life that you desire as you unleash your vision, your gifts, and your voice and your confidence to live the life of your dreams. I give my listeners and clients love and support. However, I do take the direct approach and we cut out that BS in your life. So instead of playing small, you can create big leaps into your life. Now let's dive into this episode. Hello, queens. I'm so excited to bring on my guest, Deja Shania, today. And we met on Instagram. I found her actually going down the Instagram poll and landed on her page. And I was like, oh my gosh, I saw about inner child and the feminine and the masculine. And I just love the content that she brought, just her energy and everything that she's doing. And I was like, you guys have to meet her. And so upon playing, I don't know, were we playing Zoom tag or whatever it was, podcast tag, we have finally encountered and met to make today happen. And so, Deja, I'm just going to let you share with the world what you do and all of the depth and beauty of it.
Okay. Thank you for having me, Leona. Like you said, we've been playing Zoom tag and I was just praying. I was like, God, if this is meant to happen today, give me a sign. I really want to show up and hold space with her. So I'm really grateful to be here right now. So my name is Deja Shania and I'm a holistic executive wellness consultant. And I gave myself that title because the work I do, like you mentioned, encompasses so many things. I can share like my little, spiel, and then we can dive into the nuances. So I help high-performing and executive women heal their bodies of trauma, really connect to their womb space and their femininity so that they can create the softest, juiciest, most sustainable lives that they desire. And I came into this work, like many other practitioners, because this is what I needed. I am really good at getting things done and being super productive, high achieving, awards, all of the things. I know how to do it. But I found myself at this one point a few years ago, maybe about 8 or 9 years ago, where I was just super burnt out. I was disconnected from myself and I was wondering, is this success, this external success worth it if I'm crumbling inside? So I really began implementing all of these practices that I learned myself growing up in the Caribbean with my herbalist healer grandmother and things that I'd learned along the way through my studies in yoga in India and Buddhist meditation in Thailand and a few other modalities to create protocols that would bring me home to myself. That's what I always tell my clients. I'm just here to help walk you home to yourself. I hope that all makes sense. I feel like it spans so many different fields, but that's the gist of what I do.
It made perfect sense. And it's so beautiful because we live in a world where I think so many women are screaming to be seen, to soften and to get out of their heads and drop into their body and actually live from that, like you said, that juicy goodness place. And I know for myself, I was a hyper independent, high achiever. I could make it happen one after the other. And it was funny because I remember like this defining moment where I realized I was emotionally unavailable. And it was like such a like stab to my ego because I was like, well, oh my God, like I know how to hold emotional space for other people, like da da da. And while I didn't know how to connect with my own emotions. Like my body was in pure survival. And so I think it's such a beautiful gift that you're bringing to this world because for us to know how to get out of our head and into our body, it takes a lot of work. Like, there's a lot of unconditioning that happens because it can feel really scary. I know that's how it was for me because it's like, oh my gosh, like, what is it? You know, what am I going to like? But my identity is wrapped around the doing. And you said something about the womb. And I think that's something that is overlooked a lot I would love to hear, you're shaking your head. Yes. I'm like, why, like what brought you to, because they say our womb holds a lot of wisdom is what I'm learning lately. And so what brought you to really be in tune with the womb and what do you have to say about that?
I feel like this answer is really layered. So I guess I'll start with my grandmother. So I grew up sort of being her, I'm not going to say apprentice, but I really wanted her to like me. I don't know why, but I wasn't the favorite grandchild of at least that grandmother. And I knew it, but I was like, but I'm smart and I'll learn from her. And she's doing all these cool things. I'll help her. And she was always growing these herbs and making these like little potions for people that she knew, cooking food. She has three daughters. So my mom and her two sisters, and then a whole bunch of granddaughters. And she was always reminding us like, oh, this is going to help you when you have cramps, or this can help you with your fertility. So I always grew up with that awareness. But at the same time, I felt like I couldn't share it outside of my family because there's a lot of stigma in general, even in the Caribbean. You know, up until the 80s, this traditional medicine was illegal. And then I spent some time in the States. My parents moved for work, mainly my mom. And the stigma became even greater. So I was like, I can't share this with anyone. Mm-hmm. So I always knew this in the back of my mind, but I still became disconnected. So fast forward a few years later, at that burnout point I was telling you about, I was driving myself crazy. I would wake up at 3 or 5 in the morning, go exercise. I used to run like 7 miles a day. I'm still a runner, but I don't do that anymore. And then I would lift weights and then eat like a tiny breakfast. And I was working and going to school at the same time. So working full-time, going to school, doing the most. And I was having 3 periods in 1 month.
Girl.
I know. I was exhausted all the time. But I was like, if I'm not hyper-performing, if I'm not staying super thin, and if I'm not like meeting all my friends in the gym to show them that I'm active and I'm capable, I don't know what I was thinking, but I knew that I wasn't listening to my body. And my womb was screaming out at me because we're not supposed to bleed 3 times a month.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, hold on, code red. Literally.
And I was cycling through those hormones at such a quick rate that I was like volatile. Anything would set me off. If I got out of my routine, if I ate a food that I thought wasn't clean, if, you know, talking to someone, quote unquote, triggered me, I was so unhinged, even though I was doing all the right things and performing as though I was successful. And I realized a few things. One, I needed to slow down. And two, I needed to listen to my womb. So at that time, I got off the birth control and I started, you know, going into this deep dive of the hormones, consulting my grandmother, consulting other teachers too. I think, what's her name? Alyssa Vitti. She had just come out with a book around that time. It was like 2016, 2017, called In the Flow. And she was teaching women about the different phases of the cycle and how it not only affected our hormones, but it could affect the ways that we wanted to exercise and move, the foods that we wanted to eat, the type of sleep that we got, how we felt about ourselves. And I just realized that was the key. I could still do the things that I needed to do, but I didn't have to show up in the same exact way every single day of the month. So although my body was going crazy and I was having all these periods, I just began implementing it. I was like, okay, for two days of the month, I might be in my follicular, then I might be ovulating, then XYZ. And I was going through that protocol even when I was having those 3 periods a month.
Amazing.
And slowly I began to see that, okay, now it's 2 periods a month after like 5 months. Okay, now I'm back to 1. It was a really tough process. And my body was screaming out in other ways. Like I was losing a lot of hair. I lost a lot of weight. I fractured my ankle walking down the stairs because, you know, my body wasn't holding on to any nutrients. I was just shedding so much. But just by cycle syncing and implementing the knowledge of the phases and all these medicinal herbs, I was able to just restore my body and give myself permission to be a woman. I was performing as a man the whole time because I didn't know that I could do anything else.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I think you said so much in that last statement. The whole answer was filled with a lot of wisdom. And when you ended it with saying you didn't know that you could do anything else, I think that's a big thing of we don't know what we don't know, you know? And it's because women have been conditioned as men, not knowing that's what's happening, you know, over the years. And so all of a sudden, we're like burnt out and, you know, everything is falling apart because women are community. Like we are the nurturers, we're the nourishers, and we're community. And women are angry and mad. And it like, yeah, like you said, having the periods or not having the periods and the hormones are all over the place. And coming home to that, how do I nurture my body and listen to what my body is asking? And then there is a lot of stigma. And I was pondering on this the other day because I know it was a while back I heard the whole term said that a lot of, and I say Christians with like a quote unquote light, because I'm not like, I'm a believer, but I don't like the word Christian because I feel like there's a whole junk of trunk there. But a lot of people won't heal because they're not willing to go and connect with God in the way that He designed for us to actually connect, because they have this like religious conditioning wrapped around it. And so you bringing the womb wisdom, I'm like, there's so much to be said and there's so much wisdom in the way that God created our bodies. Like our bodies are so powerful. I think I personally feel like the society does not want us to know how powerful our bodies truly are, because obviously for many reasons we're not going to get into today. So what would you say to the woman that is really burnt out and she's like, I don't even know where to start with all of this? Like where, because you know when we're in that burnt out phase and we're like fried and spaz and everything can feel overwhelming. So what, like with your clients and stuff, how do you kind of help them navigate through some of that?
That looks different for every woman. Mm-hmm. But the first thing I try to bring them back to, before we even dive into any of like the womb wisdom or the somatic healing, is what did you love to do as a child? What was that? For some people, they're like, oh my goodness, I haven't painted in like 30 years. I used to love rollerblading, but I was told I had to like study more. Usually, as children, for the most part, we are so present in our bodies and in the moment that we don't have to think about it. Children don't need healers for the most part in a healthy, thriving society. Children don't need healers. Children don't need to be told to go play, to breathe, to connect with themselves. It's only as we grow that we're conditioned into the disconnection, that we're conditioned into ignoring ourselves to fulfill a role. Mm-hmm. The nuance is I don't want women to think that they have to throw away whatever role they have and just go play, because that's another form of wounding. I did that for a bit too. And I was like, okay, that's not helping. That's
I did that too. Tried.
But just start there. And then you'll notice, okay, I'm painting, I'm rollerblading, I'm dancing. Wow. I realize that there's like this pain in my chest. What is that? It might not be anything to do with your heart, but it's some emotional baggage you've been holding on to. Because in my experience, once you reconnect with the body, you can't unknow. Everything just starts to come up.
Mm.
It's kind of like a gateway portal. And then you have to look at yourself. And that's what happened to me. I just wanted to fix my periods. I was like, what is going on? And I started connecting to my body, listening. Oh, this is how I'm feeling at this phase of my cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became deeper than the hormones. I was like, oh, wow. I have all of these like emotional responses that are stuck in my body. They weren't diseases or illnesses, because I would go to like doctors. I was like, why am I having all of these heart palpitations? They would run all these tests. This is happening. Maybe this is happening. I don't know. But it was really these repressed emotions. They do get stuck in the body. So a large pillar of this work that I do is somatic healing, somatic experiencing, helping people understand that the body does keep score. That's such a big book now. But when I was getting started, people thought it was weird. They were like, what are you talking about? Like you go to therapy, you talk things out. You might go to a pastor to talk things out or a guru, and then it's done.
Mm-hmm.
The body does keep score. And as a result, the body can be used as a tool to release whatever is being stored there. So I love using the body as a map, both in a very intuitive way, but I've studied yogic philosophy in India. So I utilize the chakras. There are 7 main ones that people know, but there are also like 33. It's like, it gets super deep. I am a student of traditional Chinese medicine. So I'm studying the meridians and all the ways that, you know, we have these pulse points in different spots in the body that can be used to heal ourselves. I love to utilize traditional forms of dance from the Caribbean and West Africa. Cool. In not only my personal practice, I'm currently taking a Mande class. It's a 3-hour like seminar, 3 times a week. So I'm dancing 9 hours a week right now and studying the culture, but also how it's like a form of healing and spiritual enlightenment. I say all this to say that every single culture has had some recognition of the body as a tool for healing. It's only with modernization and globalization that we have been taught to forget. Yeah. Because as you said, when we remember who we are, when we remember the power of our body, then we're a threat to the establishment. We really are. Mm-hmm. So all of us know this intrinsically. Our DNA holds the memory from our ancestors. It's just the time that we've been called to awaken.
Yes. Yeah, that was so juicy. Thank you for sharing all of that. As you were talking, you were just like glowing more and more vibrantly. And I was like, yes, literally coming. It's oozing out of her. It's so good. It's so deep. And so what is, I'm so intrigued because dancing, it's funny. You know how we were saying the body knows, like we just know. And I remember when I began my healing journey, I began to dance, like not dance a certain, like I just began to dance with music. I had no idea at the time that it was actually healing my nervous system. I just loved how I felt while I was dancing. And when you were saying about the 3 hours, so what are some of the results that you're seeing with inside of your, because when you were talking about, that's when I like, you started like radiating and just glowing. And I'm like, she is obviously experiencing some things. I know you're probably experiencing a lot of all over the place, but like, what is something that you really have noticed? Because I think so often, I know for me, when I first began dancing, it was learning how to get out of my head and just drop into my body and actually feel safe. So obviously, whenever I dance, I was like, nobody see me, like do it all by myself. And then even in nature, which I think is like one of the most powerful places to do when you're just outside and you're, you know, connected to all of Earth and you allow yourself to dance. So what are some of the things that you've noticed since doing this? Because that is really intriguing.
So I've been dancing my whole life. I love dance. I grew up in like a family where the women, we'd all be together. And I was like really tiny. I'm my mom's first daughter. And I'd be with her and her girlfriends and they're getting ready to have a girls' night and they're just playing music and dancing. So I remember that sort of thing, just loving music and being encouraged to move my body to music. So I've done that, like you said, just letting it flow. I've also taken dance classes and danced in performances and done all the things that can, I think that style of dance can get you in your head.
Yeah.
When you're performing and, you know, competing in that way. But this seminar I've been taking, it's only been a week.
Okay.
It's only been a week so far. I'm actually going to it later today.
I'm so jealous.
I'm really excited. But it's reminded me of the freedom in listening to your body. There are moves and there is choreography, yet a big part of the dance class is having live drummers. So the teacher, she started studying the style of dance. She's American. She went to Mali in the 90s and just started studying this because she'd had an interest and she used dance as a method of her own healing journey. And she met her husband there and he's a Malian drummer. So they've gotten married, they've had kids. And now he teaches this class with her. So there's a live drum circle. She's instructing us through the dance. And the biggest thing she reminds us, well, the two biggest things are to feel the drum and move closer to the drum. She's like, it's the heartbeat that's calling you home. And the second thing she says is, free your pelvis, free your mind. And she's like 70 years old and just like gyrating her hips.
Are you serious?
She's like the most athletic one in that class. She puts us all to shame every time. And I mean that in the best way. It's so humbling. And it's also a great reminder that we can get better as we age and healthier and stronger, even though society might tell us the opposite, because she's also glowing all the time. And she's filled up with the love of dance and the love of her husband who's providing the beat. I think that speaks into the polarity of the masculine and the feminine. You know, he's providing the frame for her and she's finding her space within the music that he makes. I don't know. I just love witnessing it and I kind of tear up. I'm like, oh, this is so cute.
I love it.
And then they're like, okay, get back into the dance. But it's been so healing thus far just to, I think, feel the drums. There's nothing like a live drum that we don't get in a recording. And I've missed that. I've missed dancing to live music.
Oh, that really brings out a new inner depth when you say that, because there is really a difference too. I think we can get so familiar with, like, just, I don't want to say copycat versions of things, but kind of is copycat, like just listening to the radio and, you know, like, because you can have music, access to music anywhere, but there is something to be said when you're in live music, also with other humans, like the energy that's flowing through. And it sounds like they have it really set up. That is so intriguing and so interesting how you're saying about the masculine and the feminine, because that really is such an important, you have to have both. And to show up in music like that is genius, the way they have integrated this and created something for a place and space for people to come into. And we always say kingdom is backwards, and it is, like, just because someone is 50 does not mean they'll look 50 or act 50. If you are taking care of yourself and nurturing yourself emotionally, spiritually, you know, mentally, physically, I mean, everybody in my journey, everybody's always like, you look younger than you did. And I do. I look younger now than I did like 10 years ago. Because 10 years ago, I was like, ugh. I was like, I got to do, like all the things, you know, and I was burnt out. And so something that I have noticed, and I'm sure you've probably noticed this with women, and there's also kind of a quote unquote, just be in your feminine. And while we all love being in our feminine, there's a dance in polarity in within ourselves too, of like, because I also kind of had gone into that, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to go by, when I started like coming out of it, I'm just going to go by how I feel and like all the things, you know? And then I was finally like, okay, well, this isn't really working. I do need some structure. And then I resisted it for a bit because I had come from being so disciplined that I was like, I don't even want that. But then I began to like internalize it as being devoted to myself, and I brought some structures and systems into place. I would love to hear like your insight, some of your insight around that, because I think this is something that women are desiring to hear more about. How do you have that feminine and masculinity in your life? Like, how do you bring that in and flow in it?
As you were talking about your experience, I'm just reflecting on my own, because I definitely did that pendulum swing. I was super disciplined, never listening to myself. And then that's all I did. I was like, well, I don't feel like it, so I'm not going to do this. And it works for a while.
It does.
You can just free flow your way through life. And I was like backpacking. I was like, I'll figure this out. And I don't know, I'll work when I need money, but like there's no structure and no discipline. And then I descended into chaos. It was just chaos. Nothing was working anymore. I couldn't skate by. I commend people who can do this their whole lives, because I think that's part of their path, but it was not part of them. I know some people can. I'm like, that would drive me insane.
Yeah.
That dance that you're talking about for me is rooted in a few things. So I first look at my cycle and I plan things around that as much as I can. So in my business, I have a lot more space and flexibility now that I'm back in school. Not so much. I have to go to seminars and do all these assignments, but there's still some room. So in my first week of my cycle, in the follicular phase, I'm really focused on planning things and making a strategy for the month. I know that certain things are going to happen. They're already on my calendar. I know that I'm going to feel a certain way in a week or in 2 weeks or in 3 weeks. So I'm really focusing on what can I schedule in what phase of the month that supports that. If I have to do a lot of studying or reviewing contracts or something like that super analytical, then I know it's best to schedule that during my luteal phase because that's when my energy supports it. I'll just want to sit down and be quiet and super introspective. If I have a lot of social things to do, like this podcast, or I have to go out with friends or do a presentation, it's best to see if I can schedule that during my ovulation phase because I'm super excited and I'm feeling magnetic and confident. If I try to do that during my menstruation, it's not going to work. It's going to sabotage everything some way or another. Even if I show up, it's just not going to be the best version of me. So I let that flow of my cycle be held by the structure of discipline and a schedule as my primary frame, the primary way that dance shows up. And then if we want to get into the nitty gritty, I also go through a daily cycle. I know that for myself, I'm a morning person. I have a lot of energy in the mornings. So if I need to do something big, I'll do it in the morning. I'm doing this podcast episode. I do my workouts in the morning. If I have to have important meetings, I'll do them in the morning. Towards the afternoon, my energy fades. And then at night, I just want to be like all soft and sweet and juicy. And I don't really want to think, but I want to like get dressed up and look pretty or lay in bed with a face mask and eat chocolate. So I know that even throughout the day, there's a certain way that I can structure my time that best supports my energy cycles while still allowing me to get what I need to get done. So what I always remind women is that who you are is the blueprint for your success. You don't have to work against yourself. You know, there's obviously different things that may come up that don't fit into our neat little box. And that's okay. But for the most part, it's about structuring your time in a way that supports who you are and also supports those things that you want to achieve and the success that you see for yourself.
Oh my goodness. That is, you just actually answered one of my questions about myself. Because I was thinking, I remember like shifting over to being devoted to myself. But also when I began to do the cycle syncing and I began to become aware of my cycle and like schedule it, like you said, accordingly and work my business more accordingly and even schedule my life. And it was so funny because the other week I was scheduling a photo shoot and I was like, okay, when's my ovulation phase? Because I know that's when it's like the time that, and I was like, I never dreamt that I would be scheduling some of this stuff. But like you said, work with our bodies instead of against our bodies, because you and I both know that when the week we have our period, if we put ourselves in a position, because that can be scheduled to do our photo shoot, no matter what we do, we're not going to feel our most magnetic selves because that's not the way that we're designed in that time. And I also love the perspective that you brought in about the daily. Because we're wired very similar to, I'm in the morning, I like to get my things done. And then as the day unravels, you know, slowly start unwinding. And then the evening, I just want to be the princess. Like,
yeah,
I was up at 4 this morning. Like, I don't want to do nothing. You know, I want to indulge in just softening into the evening and just relax. That's when I feel like I come home to myself. And sometimes, and when you were saying that, I was like, you know what? That's something actually for me to look at and shift in my schedule. Because sometimes I will schedule myself in the evening to work my business. And I kept questioning, why is there such a resistance with this? And that's why, is because I'm working against myself by that point in time, the way that I'm wired. And so for me, I get to move that into the morning and position myself in a way that I'm supported, you know, bring that masculinity in and creating that structure. So when I'm working, I'm in my flow instead of like trying to get this done, like one more thing. Oh my goodness. So many good things. So I could just like, yeah. But I wanted to ask you also, so what are some simple ways that women, which we have shared, I feel like you have shared a lot, but Like, what are some simple tips that she can just start implementing? Because I feel like simplicity is the key. We can kind of go shiny object syndrome and be like, oh my God, I want to do it all. Like, because I want to have it. And really, I found, and I'm sure you probably have too, that the beauty is in the process. The beauty is in the unraveling of the journey of allowing yourself to be in today, to discover. And it's not how fast you can get there. And I know at one point from my high achieving self, it was like, well, once I just get there, then, you know, then I'm going to have like this juicy goodness. So what are some simple things that they can start implementing in their life to start their journey?
So I think we've covered a few of them. Learning about your cycle, your unique cycle, because it's different for every woman. The average cycle is 28 days. But in my experience, a woman can have a healthy cycle that lasts 40, 42 days. So it's just so different for everyone. You just never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. In my experience, anywhere from like 21 to 42 days, which I think is insane. And that can be healthy for someone, like either end of the spectrum. So it's learning about your unique cycle, learning about your hormones. Two other things I think are key. Learning what foods are best for your body. And the way I go about helping my clients find this is like multifaceted. So we go through like basic nutrition, just learning about the way foods provide us energy and how they're processed through the system and the vitamins and the nutrients. But another layer of that is learning what your ancestors ate. Our bodies remember, our epigenetics, they know what food has sustained that type of body for millennia. We know, we always know. And then the third part, and this comes from Ayurveda, which is the sister science of yoga, is learning about your dosha. So that might be a little, like if you're a nerd like me, you probably want to know, but it's your mind-body type. And this helps you figure out how different foods affect your, not just your physical body, but your mental, your spiritual, and your emotional body, because they do have an effect on you in many different layers. So finding what foods are the best for you, and then finding what movement is the best for you. So I am an athlete. I was raised as an athlete. My parents are athletes. So I like to run and dance and practice yoga and lift. That's not for everybody, and that's okay. I just like to move. I feel like I just have a lot of energy, so it needs to be expelled. Some people, they just love to dance. That's it. They'll take dance classes a few times a week, or they walk, or they practice yoga or Pilates, or they just like to lift, or they just like to run. Whatever it is has to feel good for you, because that's going to be the most sustainable way of keeping your body fit and healthy. So I think three main things: knowing your cycles, whether it's your monthly cycle or your daily cycle, learning what foods are the most nourishing for you, and then finding your best form of movement.
I'm a little starstruck right now about that whole food thing. I never looked at it as my ancestors of what they ate. I have never heard that before, and that is so interesting. Is that why sometimes when you go to eat a different way, you come back to the way that you have been, you know, especially if somebody is dieting or like healthier choices, but you revert back to this other way? Does that come from just the way that your ancestors ate and it was passed on down to you?
It can come from that. It could also be conditioning. But what I mean is, beyond the food that you grew up with, this could definitely play a role. But for example, my mom loves cheese. But ancestrally, we didn't eat cheese and we're very lactose intolerant. So I don't feel like that is the healthiest food for me to eat, even though I grew up with that.
Okay. And yeah.
Yeah. There are other ways that I can get my calcium in, right? Like ancestrally in the Caribbean and also in West Africa, where my ancestors are from, we ate a lot of green vegetables, dark leafy greens. So that's where I would like, that's where I feel better getting my calcium. I can eat some dairy and it's usually yogurt, but that wasn't part of my ancestral diet. And when I understood that, I realized that's why dairy doesn't feel good for me. That's why it doesn't process well for me, even though I like the taste. I love root vegetables so much. And looking ancestrally, we grew a lot of tubers like squash and potatoes and yams. I can eat some bread and flour products, but it's not an ancestral food. So it doesn't really settle well unless it's like sourdough. So that's what I mean. It's really just understanding what foods are, I guess, more indigenous to your ancestral homeland and making that the core of your diet. And obviously we've evolved as humans, so that's not a box to put yourself in. But I find that for most people, that tends to be the most nourishing diet for them. And then we have these outliers. Like, I love ice cream, so I'm going to eat ice cream, even though it doesn't always work out for me.
Yes. Yes, that's so true. So it's going back. So what I'm hearing is it's going back to the homeland of where your ancestors came from. Like in mine, it would be Switzerland, and I have French in me. So it would be going back to and do like studying up on it, which really, if you think about it, food doesn't, even though times change, your source of nutrients doesn't change. Like going back to the root of the earth, of the actually grown thing, that never outdates, if we, so to speak, like that. And there's so much wisdom that is held in that. That is the, oh, my inner nerd is going to be coming out these next. You opened a whole box. That is so interesting. And movement, definitely. It's funny because last night we were playing a game with my kids and we were challenging each other how well one another knows one another. And the question was, if, what do you think each person would be if they could be anything? What was it? Anything without getting paid for it or whatever. And my oldest one, or my oldest daughter, she's 19 and she's like, my mom would be a dancer. And my son, who's 21, was like, what? She's like, she would be a dancer. She'd just like be an actor or something. And he's like, he was looking confused. And he's like, well, are you talking like about a stripper or something? She's like, no. She's like, have you never walked into the house and mom is in the kitchen cooking and she is dancing? And I'm like, you know, I just love that I left that mark on my daughter's like life. She's like, I would be a dancer, because I'm like, it's so true. That is something, that is a movement that I have found. I love dancing. I love Zumba. I love yoga, all those different things. And I think often we resist allowing ourselves to actually go in that space and just be in those moments and allow ourselves to be in that movement and trust that it's okay to move and to find what works for you. Because like you said, everybody is conditioned so differently. And so I would love for you to share, what are the services that you provide? Like, how can women work with you and how can they get to, well, obviously we'll share your links, but like, yeah, how can they get to know you or work with you? Because I know there's a woman that's listening to this that's going to be like, oh my gosh, I need more. I need to know more.
Yeah. So I think right now the best way to get in contact with me is through Instagram or my email, and I'll share that with you, Deja Shania. My website is DejaShania.com, but it's currently under like a revamp, rebrand. I've had it up for 6 years, so I'm like, it's time for a change. And my services are both, I have a few evergreen options, and then I have some that are live. So evergreen, I think like the starter pack, that's what I call it, is my womb wisdom bundle. And this is like a 2-hour in-depth workshop all on the different cycles of your menstrual and different ways that you can, you know, begin to embody this wisdom through food, through movement. I also include in that like an ebook and a meditation. So the womb wisdom bundle is a really good start for women who are just wanting to figure out their cycle. And then I have a self-paced course, Liberate and Embody Your Inner Child. So this is an inner child course that really helps you dive into, you know, your conditioning and your dynamics, not to shame you, but to help you see yourself fully and come into union. I find that, you know, the biggest problem for people is not knowing who they are, but resisting who they are and resisting the thing that made them who they are. So just so you can learn to love yourself and create structures to live a life that feels healthy and happy for you, despite what you've been through. And then I have a few live options. So right now I have a new group program that's really exciting for me. It's starting in March. We're in February. Wow. And it's called Coronation. And this is for the women who are ready to restructure their business or career and their personal life to embody the queen within. So we dive in through a lot. We dive into, you know, the cycle and natural fertility, holistic birthing practices, feminine business, how to have healthy relationships, leaving a legacy. It goes really deep. And then I have a program called Returning to the Feminine. And this is for that boss babe who wants to, as we've talked about in this conversation, return to her feminine without swinging into the feminine chaos. She wants to create a structure that allows for more flow and for more ease and juiciness while letting her continue to fulfill all of those things that, you know, she has to do in the world because she's powerful and because she's high achieving. So those are the few ways that you can play with me right now.
That is so incredible. That is a lot. Like, I'm like, I feel like you covered all them because there's so many different dynamics, but you packaged it of like, they can choose this one, you know, whichever one that they feel most aligned with. And there's so many potent packages, I would say, that you have to offer, which is, I just want to say thank you for putting that stuff together and serving women like this, because we need you. There's so many women that I talk to, and I'm always like, you know, I'm not a fit for everybody. And that's why I love to bring other guests on, because I'm like, I might not be a fit for a person, but a guest that I bring on my podcast, one of my listeners listen is like, oh my gosh, I need her. And so just the fact that you took the time today to share all of your beautiful wisdom and your gifts, and then leave them with all of this, which we'll put the links in the show notes. And so upon ending it, could you, what is one thing that you want the women that are listening to this, what is like an ending statement that you want them to hold in their heart?
There's so much more I wanted to share.
Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking about that. It's like, oh, I feel like I could have shared more. I could keep talking for a while, I'm going to be honest. But I think the biggest thing I want women to know is that your womanhood is a gift. It doesn't make you, you know, inconvenient or emotional or moody or wrong. Your biological blueprint is really a gift that helps you understand your purpose on this earth. And I don't mean this from like a woman empowerment space, like, oh, we're better than men, the future is female. I mean that in that women are the portals to creation. And we've forgotten that as a society. And we've told each other that we need to shut that down in order to show up like men. But we can be women and still be strong and powerful in all of the ways that the feminine shows up, because the feminine has so much range, right? And that's okay. And that's okay.
Do you feel like women are afraid to be powerful?
Yes.
Because what we think is powerful and what is truly powerful is two different things from what I've been experiencing. Because we are a creative, powerful force from within, not because of what we do, but because of who we are. And I know for me, one of the biggest things that I felt like I was disconnected from was my creativity. Like it was like for me to go with inside of myself and actually trust that what is placed on the inside of me is actually extremely powerful. And I can birth from within the visions that I have, the creativity that I have. I mean, physically, if you look at it, women are the ones that have the babies. We carry whole human beings and birth them. And that's only physically, literally what we see. But there's so much more spiritually that we create. And we are the ones that birth so many ideas into this world. And I know, like, on my journey, I have realized, just being really raw and real, that one of the biggest things that I was afraid of was the power that was sitting inside of me. And so that's why it was, and I would love to hear even kind of your insight on what you would have to say to that, because I think we're not, at one point I was like, well, I am so powerful coming from a like wounded place, because I felt like I was powerful because what I was doing from external, not internal.
I think as women, we have a collective wound around our power because of the imprint of the Crusades and colonialism and imperialism. And it happened on every continent. You know, in Europe, women and healers were branded as witches for simply doing all the things we talked about, tracking their cycles, coming into community, caring for one another, using medicinal plants. And they were eradicated. And then when European powers came to different continents, they did the same thing that they did to their own women and medicine keepers. So we've been taught over centuries, regardless of our background, that to be a woman and to be connected to this ancient feminine power, this creativity, this life-giving force. And this goes beyond giving birth, like you said. Whether or not a woman has a child is not really the point. It's that we have the ability to give life into anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we've been disconnected because we've seen externally for hundreds of years across the entire globe that wasn't safe, that trusting another woman wasn't safe because she might share your name with someone in order to save her own life. Not because she doesn't love you, but that's what we do when we're in survival. Mm-hmm. So we all have this wound around our power. It's called the witch wound. That's what some people call it. And we've been taught in order to be powerful in this modern globalized matrix is to show up in a certain way, either from the ego or the wounded space. We've learned to like shift and slink ourselves into these little corners where our power was digestible, even though that doesn't encompass the full range of who we are. So you're right, we are afraid of our power, and it can be individual, but it's a collective thing because we were essentially exterminated or forced to keep quiet about it and pass these things on in silence. And as I told you in the beginning, it's still very recent. Like where I come from, this was still illegal up until the 1980s, and they called it witchcraft. Just women, you know, growing herbs and making potions and doing all of the, this conversation would probably be illegal.
That sounds, yeah, true. Very true. That's good. I'm the rebel anyway.
So it's a long history of this subjugation. And then it's only recently that we've been given the space, even legally, to come back into who we've always been. And when I share this, I don't want, you know, the women listening to think, oh, well, men are the problem. No. There is this elite group that created these rules and imposed them on all of us. And that's just the way it is, because they know that when they can stifle, I'm speaking now just on women, because men have gone through their own thing and
absolutely,
they're still healing their masculinity. And I support them in that. That's really beautiful. But the powers that be understand that when they can manipulate the life force energy of the earth, then they really have control. Because when the woman is free, everyone is free.
Yeah.
Really how it is.
It is. And when you were saying that, I have said for the longest time, there's a reason that conditioning has been the way that it has, and that is to control. And I also know that sometimes it can be triggering for women to realize that they actually have the ability to take so much responsibility and stepping in. And I'm like, I'm not picking on the women. I'm just saying, like, once you realize that we have the ability to shift everything around us, like, you know, the vague statement of, well, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. And yeah. I've heard a lot of people say, well, it's not just on the women. And I'm like, that is not the point. The point is that you get to step into that position. You get to create the energy around you. You get to create something different in your life, because we are co-creators with the one who created this world. And I know it can feel overwhelming, but in the grand perspective, and I know this from being a mama to three, is my kids, they're older now, but they run off of my energy. Like a woman can walk into a room, even aside if somebody doesn't have children, A woman can walk into the room and she can literally shift the whole room with her energy. When she is in tune with her power of what she has with inside of herself, most women aren't aware of it because they're not connected to themselves in that way. And that's one of the things that has been one of my biggest, so to speak, why continuing on my journey the way that I have, because I'm like, I can impact, empower, and change people without ever talking to them. Literally by just in, or just by even a conversation. That is one of the most freeing and most one of the most empowering feelings for me. It is, and I want to hear your thoughts on it, is to know that no matter where I go day to day and the people that I talk to, that I get to create that. I get to create a sense of freedom in their life, because if I am free, they're going to feel that. Because you know what, like if I meet somebody, sometimes it's just, I will have like a moment conversation with them and I'll walk away and it's like, oh my gosh, like I feel so good. And we get to do that in our families and our bloodlines and the generations in our community and create something so beautiful. I think, you know, a lot of women are searching for that of, you know how they say the most powerful woman is also the silent woman, which is not silence as in she's not using her voice, which you know this, but the one who, what exactly what you do is you bring the woman back to home. You bring the woman who knows who she is. And when she carries herself in that, we could say like in her queen aesthetic energy of it all, she doesn't shrink herself down to conform on into what everybody else thinks she should be. And I went on a kind of long-winded rant, but I feel like we're kind of uncovering something that I think women consciously often are not aware of. And we get to bring this to the light of, are you shrinking yourself down because there's a fear on the inside of you because of the own? And so what has helped you really like embody that? Because that's what it is to feel safe, to embody it.
I think the biggest, I keep coming back to this, but it's that somatic practice.
So can you talk about the somatic practice a little bit? Because I know now what it is, but at one point, if somebody would have said somatic practice, yeah. I would have been like, what is that?
No. So soma, I guess I'll break it down through the etymology. Soma means like in relation to the body. So somatic practice is a body-based practice. And I mentioned a bit about this before, but really using the body as a tool to heal. There are different parts of our body that can hold on to different things. So with our chest, for example, we can hold on to affairs of the heart, heartbreak, love or loss, stress. With maybe our stomach, that's all about boundaries and concept of self-worth and what we have the ability to receive in this life, what we think we have value in. So there are different parts of the body that correlate to different themes. But when you understand that you can't just think your way out of it, because I know the type of women that are probably listening to this, they're very smart and they're very capable. They might try to use their mind. And that's a good start to become self-aware. But when you realize that it's not thinking your way out of it, it's literally releasing it. And you're not just doing it for you. This is something that gave me a lot of grace. When a woman heals, whoever you are in your bloodline, you're healing not only yourself, but seven generations backward and seven generations forward. So you are doing a lot of work, the work that you've inherited, and then the work that you don't want to continue. You want them to, they're going to have their own stuff to deal with, but you know you're not passing it along. So that's like 15 times the work.
Oh my gosh, that really put a perspective on things. I didn't realize the numbers.
That's how the epigenetics work. Whatever we're dealing with right now, it's been seven generations at least. And when we stop it, then we've stopped it for seven generations.
Yeah, that's my number one, like, why is because of my children, you know, but anyways, I interrupted you.
No, I think that's the biggest thing. Just using the body, giving yourself grace and realizing that it's not just you. You didn't just come into this earth as a blank slate and then you inherited all of this craziness. Where you were born with it, literally encoded in your body and your DNA, and then conditioned, just to add the icing on the cake. So give yourself time. It's not going to happen overnight. I know people that really want to do everything really fast, then they blow out their nervous system because they can't handle it.
Yeah.
And then they start back at square one. So just go slow. Obviously have, you know, like some accountability so you're not staying stagnant and telling yourself to, I'm just going slow, but
yeah,
make it at your own pace.
Being held by another woman, you know, in that safety of, because there is importance in having that guidance with somebody else and working with someone. And I know, I think it was like 2 years ago, I kept hitting this brick wall because I was like deep into personal development. And I was like, nothing working. Like, I know it up here, but like, no matter how much I know, and I just felt this overwhelm of information. Like, I know it all. I didn't know it all, but I felt like I know it all up here. But, and then that's where I began to learn about the somatic healing. And I was like, oh, no wonder, because my head is like detaching from my body. My mind knows it, but my body's like, I don't feel safe. Let's go into revert back to coming over here with what is familiar, even if it's not healthy, you know? And so it is the generational thing. I love how you displayed that and how you brought that out, because when we can see what we're looking at, what we're dealing with, and you know how even they say how your mom was when she was pregnant, like how she felt, the emotions that she experienced. And I know my mom was under extreme stress when she was pregnant with me, which I was like, no wonder, you know, I worked great under stress. It's been familiar to me ever since I was like, you know, ever since she was pregnant with me, that was a familiarity to me. So when you were saying earlier, and I'm like, okay, well, I am going to wrap it up into it, because I'm like, we could go on and on, but I'm like, maybe we have to do a part two, if, because you have like so much wisdom that is just so good to share. But I wanted to say thank you so much for coming on here and sharing everything that you did. I know that I probably should have said in the beginning, I hope, you know, bring a notepad, because they could have taken so many notes from all the things that you share. But thank you for being you, and thank you for just coming on here and sharing all of your wisdom with the audience.
Thank you so much. And maybe it's like a sign for them to re-listen with the notepad now. Maybe just receive the second time, you start to set up some structure so you can come home to yourself.
That is so good. Thank you so much for tuning in to Unchained and Untamed. I'm confident that you received exactly what you require to unleash your potential and unapologetically own your feminine heart and soul and be the woman that God has created you to be. It's time to take the next step on your transformational journey. Apply what you've learned and know that I am here to support you every step of the way. I'd love to hear what your biggest shifts and ahas were that you received from this podcast. So make sure to shoot me a message and follow me on Instagram @Schrock_Leona. See you there.